105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Biz Connect radio show with myself, Martin White, and my fabulous co-host today,
Lynette Wood.
Lynette, lovely to have you back in the studio.
Thanks for having me back, as always, Martin.
Always a pleasure, always a pleasure. What a beautiful day out there today.
I know, it's absolutely stunning. I think last time we came, I was joking that the weather wasn't very nice, and today is beautiful.
We were joking about that, weren't we? Because it was hospitality reopening day,
yes.
I think. And we were saying, who's going to want to go and have a roast dinner in the rain and freezing cold outside at a pub?
But now,
haven't things turned around?
Haven't they just?
Fabulous, fabulous, good. So we've got a packed show as always today, everybody. We've got some business news and events that we want to read out. Lynette's going to give us an update on the hospitality industry and recruitment. I think you want to talk about Lynette as well today, don't you?
Oh, it's a very good passion of mine at the moment, as you know, Martin, from my LinkedIn post.
Absolutely. And we've also got a couple of guests. Who have we got on the show today, Lynette?
First, we've got Sarah Niebuhr-Webb, and she is from the Clean Growth Southeast. And then we've got Rob Robinson, who's a Sustainability Business Manager for KCC.
Brilliant. Fantastic. So I think what we'll do now is we'll play a little bit of music. And when we come back, we'll catch up with Lynette and all of her news, catch up on some of those business events before we get our first guest on. So join us after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect.
The show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you so much for joining the Biz Connect radio show today with myself, Martin White, and my co-host in the studio, Lynette Wood from the Alma Rose Hotel Group. And while we're on the subject, Lynette, tell us what's going on in the world of hospitality at the moment.
Well, as we said just before the show off air, Martin, you know, having some great inquiries coming in. We've got Christmas party inquiries coming in. And I have to say, a lot of team building inquiries at the moment for some of our hotels that have got the outdoor space.
Right.
So anything in terms of it's a knockout. You know, we had an inquiry on Friday for a company that wants to do a family event for their staff and their children, which is just wonderful.
Fantastic. Good. And what about sort of more traditional corporate stuff like conferences, awards nights, things like that? Are people inquiring about those again?
We've got some awards nights obviously already on the books that were cancelled from last year, and they look to be going ahead this year, and everybody's really keen on those, which I think is fabulous. Mm. In terms of corporate inquiries, some businesses are looking to obviously bring people back into the building, but then there's others that are still looking to wait until the end beginning of next year.
Fabulous. Okay, good. So since the opening up, I think, when was it? 17th of May, something like that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Things have been ticking up for you guys a bit, which is great.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have I always have a look in the system in terms of how many bedrooms we've picked up, you know, previous day or the previous 3 days. And I think when I looked this morning, we had the most amount of bedrooms picked up for June and July, which is so incredible to see and really great.
Good. And how important is the next stage in the roadmap, do you think, for the hospitality industry in terms of no restrictions? Because we're still quite limited, aren't we, in terms of the number of people that can attend a wedding, for example. You know, all of those kind of social functions are still quite limited. So how important do you think the next phase of that kind of opening up is, Lynette?
I think it's important in terms of giving people, you know, they want to obviously go ahead. I think weddings, obviously, you can imagine there's brides and grooms that we've got waiting across our venues thinking they just need for it to go ahead. You know, people have got weddings literally the weekend after the 21st of June.
Yeah.
I was talking to a lady the other day who is actually a friend of mine. They've had to pay the caterers for more people, but they're still not sure if they can even go.
Mm.
It's just still uncertain.
Yeah, and I guess that's having a knock-on effect as well in terms of people's willingness to kind of book. But you've got some pretty favourable cancellation terms, haven't you, at the moment?
Yep.
As well, I think. So, you know,
still got those going. You can book anything up until the 31st of August next year.
Mm.
And if it's up to £5,000, you can cancel 3 days before. Mm. And if it's up to £20,000, you can cancel 8 days before.
Mm. So give us a quick shout out for your website, because you've got hotels up and down the country. Where can people kind of find out about some of the beautiful places that you've got dotted around?
So our website's actually www.qhotels.com.
Qhotels.com. Fabulous. Good. Now, while we're on hospitality, there's been some sort of fairly adverse publicity, shall we say, over the last sort of 10 days or so regarding recruitment in the industry and the difficulties hotel chains, pubs, restaurants are all having actually getting people back into the industry after lockdown. What's your kind of take on that?
Oh, Martin, you know my take on this, and anybody who's seen my LinkedIn post will know that I honestly feel hospitality is a wonderful industry to be in, and you can grow in hospitality, you know, much more you can in maybe other jobs. And I just think negative press of why people haven't returned from furlough, they don't like working long hours, it's minimum pay, and I think absolutely they're all probably true, but actually what else is available in hospitality industry for you to grow your career? And I think that's what they're missing in these stories.
So start at the bottom and work your way right up to the top, which is what all the kind of big corporates want ultimately. They want someone that knows the business inside out, I guess.
Yeah, I think I started off as a receptionist, and I've worked in reservations and in accounts and in sales, and you know, not everybody is an A-grade student or a 9-plus student or whatever they're called nowadays. And they can, if as long as you're hardworking, you've got a great personality, there's definitely, you know, scope for you to work in hospitality.
I think that's a really good point as well, isn't it? You know, have we as a society sort of failed to manage, you know, people's, young people's expectations? You know, not everybody can, you know, be a rocket scientist, you know, or a doctor perhaps, and we just need to be realistic about, you know, what people should be kind of expecting from their career path, I guess, ultimately. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I've got two children, as you know, one of them's 15 at school, and I do think they focus on, you know, all these high grades, and schools are under immense pressure to make sure obviously they get the grades they need to get, but there are hundreds of children that are never going to get those grades, however hard they try, but they're great people.
Yes.
They want to work hard, and I just think this hospitality is a great career for them.
Yeah, and people skills is a key thing there, isn't it? You know, it's very much a people industry, and you may not be academically gifted, but you know, you might actually be incredibly good at communicating with people, and you know, very, very personable, you know, as a young individual, and so hospitality would probably lend itself really well to your kind of personal skill set.
Yeah, and I think not just because, you know, you might still be very bright, etc., but you know, you might only end up with maybe a D in English or whatever, but I think that, you know, you can still be a bright person and still do hospitality, and I think that's something else, that it's not always about those, because there are jobs like revenue management, you know, marketing managers, you know, those type of roles that you can work up to or you can go into if you have been to university. So it's both spectrums.
Yeah, brilliant. So don't discount it, everybody. If you've got you know, a young family out there that's perhaps kind of you know, moving on from school this year, you know, what a great time to start a career in the hospitality industry.
You could start off as a receptionist, Martin, and end up co-hosting a radio show with you.
Well, exactly. Fabulous. Good. All right. We've got a bit of a sort of sustainability theme to the show today, Lynette. We've got two guests on. We've got Sarah Nidri-Webb from Clean Growth Southeast, who's going to be talking to us all about the fabulous initiatives that are going on to help green our Kent economy and actually grow that economy sustainably moving forward. I always struggle with that word.
I never
have my teeth in for that one. And then we've got Rob Robinson on from Kent County Council, who actually heads up the Sustainable Business Programs team at KCC, and that includes grant funding programs like Locase. There's an electric van promotion at the moment called Kent Revs. There's a Steps 2 environmental management program as well. So he's going to be talking about all of that. And you're going to add some insight also in terms of the hotel group, aren't you, as well, in terms of what you guys are doing?
Yeah, we'll
on
do,
that
absolutely,
level.
Martin.
So I think that's going to be a really interesting discussion. But what we have got in the meantime is some fabulous events coming up, some training events, some webinar events. So why don't you kick us off with some startup events that the Let's Do Business Group are running, Lynette?
So the Let's Do Business Group, amazing, as we all know. So they're doing a women's startup business group with Her Biz. Mm-hmm. And you can actually give a chance to win £750 towards your startup business, Martin, on that one. That is for women only.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got another one here that's across East Sussex. And again, that's obviously with the team at Let's Do Business. And all these details can be found on the Supply My Business community page.
Brilliant. So a lot of people are turning to self-employment or setting up their own limited companies at the moment, and you can understand why in the current climate. So but it's far better, I think, to do that with a clear understanding of what your business is going to look like in terms of a business plan, cash flow forecast, profit and loss forecast, marketing, doing all that kind of critical research with potential customers or your target market as you see it. And the Let's Do Business Group and their startup programs help you create all of that framework before you actually go out and spend some money. So it's really, 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 really good time to invest in actually planning your business before you go out and launch your business, I would suggest. So you can contact the Let's Do Business Group directly. They also have their own finance team, and they are a delivery partner for the Startup Loans program as well. So on the back of all of this work and all of this engagement that you can get involved with in terms of workshops and learning, free learning, they may even be able to help you, you know, put the finance in place to launch your business as well. So really worthwhile having a conversation with those guys. And as Lynette said, all of that information is on the community page of Supply My Business. What else have you got, Lynette?
So Natalie's been in touch, Natalie Gameson, and they've got some free training. We don't hear that very often, do we? In terms of digital training for up to any residents within the South East area.
Uh-huh. And what's this specifically for, Lynette? Is this geared towards what, job seekers training or?
Yep, so up to 2,000 residents across the South East can receive free remote training. So it's remote, so you have them do it straight from your home, and it's equipment and data will be gifted to participants where needed, obviously, and everything else like that. So do sign up to that if you're looking for a job. You know, that's great.
So this is to help people specifically apply for roles online, I guess. It's that environment that we're talking about,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Job seekers environment. And a lot of people, again, you know, they just won't be used to doing that, will they, in terms of applying for, you know, for a job. They may not have ever done that in the past. So I think that's also a really critical kind of training program. And you guys have got something happening as well.
Yes. So if you aren't used to applying for a job online, the Ashford International have got a job fair on the 17th of June, 3 till 6. It's a drop-in centre where you can go in and see the team in there. And there's jobs as food and beverage and receptionists, chefs, events and groups coordinators and housekeeping jobs available. So just drop in from the 17th of June at the Ashford International Hotel from 3 till 6 p.m.
Fantastic. Going back to the free digital training,
yes,
job search training, how do people get in touch for that? How can people register for that? Are there some contact details there?
So it's got on here in terms of to sign up to the free training. There's a website on there, so we can put that on the community page, Martin, so people can head to there.
And what is it, though? Just read it out quickly.
Oh, it's a long one.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Okay, it's not got any kind of abbreviation or anything.
www.we-r-digital.co.uk.
Okay, we-r-digital.co.uk. Brilliant, good. Fantastic. We've got a couple of other events happening this week as well. Tomorrow, we've got CIS Controls, Good for Our Health. So, Centre for Internet Security Controls for Healthcare Providers. This is being run by the Cyberfort Group tomorrow, 11 till 12. Obviously, it's an online webinar, and this is specifically for people that are working in the healthcare industry. I think the healthcare industry is one of those industries that's particularly vulnerable to cybersecurity threats and cyber fraud. So if you have any concerns in that area, you might be running a care home as a manager, for example, this event would be well worth attending. Again, all of the information is on the community page of Supply My Business, but that is tomorrow, 11 till 12, so you need to get your skates on and book for that fairly quickly. And then our good friend Bruce Kidd at Oasis is running another Introduction to Inventory Optimization, the Future of Stock Management webinar this Friday. It's quite short. It's 9:30 till 10. I think there's a little bit of networking from 9:20 in the morning as well. There's a Q&A at the end of that as well. So if you have any interest in inventory management inside your business, you may have some responsibility for that. Again, I would suggest you register for this free webinar and see what the current state of inventory software looks like in the marketplace, and you may well be able to learn something there that would ultimately make your business more productive and efficient. Good. Lynette, I think what we'll do now is we'll play a little bit of music, and when we come back, we'll talk to our first guest, Sarah Nidri-Webb from Clean Growth Southeast. So join us after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back, everybody. Lovely to have you with us today for the BizConnect radio show with myself, Martin White, and my fabulous co-host in the studio, Lynette Wood. Lynette, we've also got a guest on the line, haven't we? Tell us who have we got.
We have got the wonderful Sarah Nidri Webb.
Sarah, lovely to have you with us today.
Thanks very much for having me.
You're currently engaged in a programme on behalf of Kent County Council called Clean Growth South East. So tell us in your own words a little bit about that initiative, Sarah, and what it involves.
Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. Yeah, so Clean Growth South East is an initiative that's been commissioned by Kent County Council, as you said, with some funding from the South East Local Enterprise Partnership. It's delivered by my company, Opogee. We're lucky enough to have won this work, and I'm the project manager, so I'm leading on some of the background research and engagement directly with companies across the southeast region. And we kicked off, I think, in January this year, and we're carrying on with this work until the end of July. And we've got two main areas or objectives, really. Firstly is to look at what is clean growth across the southeast. So what does that sector really mean? What kind of businesses are included? And what employment and jobs are there for individuals living in southeast? And then secondly, to deliver a pilot program of initiatives that directly support businesses that are based in the area. So helping them to understand the opportunities that are offered by clean growth in the sector, and how they can access those, and also to look at how they can reduce their own emissions and environmental impact.
Fantastic. So am I right in thinking this is targeted much more at the smaller business community rather than sort of large corporates?
Yeah, it does try to tailor some initiatives for small businesses. We absolutely don't exclude anybody, and of course big businesses have a big part to play and a big role to help towards emissions reduction. Mm. But yeah, we are looking to support small companies as well through the process.
Fantastic, good. And why is this initiative so important? I mean, what's the kind of the background context here? I mean, you know, we hear about climate change on the news every day. You know, we hear about COP26 that's coming up in Edinburgh in November. Mm. We hear things about, you know, something called the Paris Agreement and 1.5 degrees of global temperature rise. What's the kind of background to all of this, Sarah? Why is all of this so important all of a sudden?
Yeah, well, there's obviously a huge climate change agenda in our headlines at the moment. Mm. And as you said, we had this Paris Agreement, which was in 2005, where the UK, along with a whole host of other countries, 188 other countries, I think, we all signed up to these legally binding international targets and a treaty to really take some decisive action about keeping our temperature rise below 2 degrees C, or well below 2 degrees C, and aiming for a 1.5 degrees C, no more than that, we can manage it. Mm. And then in 2019, we had, for the UK, we were the first major economy in the world to start to really consider this in more depth, and we set our own law to achieve net zero by 2050, so a fairly ambitious target for us to reach. Mm. And so it's on a UK and an international stage, it's really obviously very important, but this carries through to a local perspective as well. The counties in Kent and Essex and East Sussex across the southeast, they've all declared climate emergencies, so there's really an imperative to kind of really address this area and curb climate change as much as possible. But it's also important for the southeast because it offers such a huge business opportunity. We've done some outline work so far in Clean Growth Southeast and shown that the companies involved can include renewable energy and heat generators, or those providing low carbon products or low carbon construction, there's low emissions vehicles, waste and recycling, forestry. So it's a really diverse sector and has a huge financial and economic part to play in the southeast economy. So 12,500 businesses are employed, are employing 85,000 employees. So it's a really important sector on that regard as well, because of that kind of local impact for businesses and community. Mm.
So, I mean, renewables in particular, you know, things like solar PV and, you know, air source heat pumps, ground source heat pumps, you know, represent a massive business opportunity, don't they, for service industries
all
out
through
there.
Those supply chains to build that infrastructure, to install it, to maintain it. It offers huge opportunities for companies locally.
So I think we should be embracing it in many ways. And, you know, yes, it is a climate emergency. And I guess on a fundamental level, what we're talking about here is, you know, a drastic change to our lifestyles, our individual lifestyles, if we're not able to get on top of this issue. I think that will be the reality of you know, what carbon, what climate change will mean to us on a kind of an individual level. You know, we will have to change the way we live our lives. But at the same time, you know, if we can move towards a sustainable agenda in terms of business growth, then, you know, hopefully we should be able to retain, you know, all the things we like and enjoy in life, but at the same time, continue to flourish economically as well. And I guess that's the balance we need to strike now, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely.
Fantastic. Good. Okay. So just tell us about some of the initiatives and some of the events that you guys have been running that businesses can tap into recently.
We've got a fairly busy event program over the next couple of months till the end of the project. We're looking at a lot of different areas where we've received feedback already from a lot of companies to say they need some assistance or could do with some advice in how they manage their own impacts, for example, or how can they incorporate green transport planning into their business plans. But we're also diving into some particular technology types in the energy sector. So, for example, offshore wind, solar. We've got some events coming up to really take a deep dive into those and see what are the local opportunities and how can companies based locally identify them, find their new clients and win some work.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Okay. So I went on one recently, which was all around retrofit, which was very, very interesting. So again, businesses, you know, perhaps in the heating supplies industry, the electrical industry, you know, all that kind of myriad of kind of small businesses out there operating in that sector. That was quite an interesting event. And this week, I think tomorrow, actually, you've got one that talks about the kind of the built environment more generally, haven't you? Tell us a little bit about that event tomorrow.
Yeah, definitely. So this is really this upcoming event is really interesting for companies looking and working in low carbon construction or interested in that sector. It's called Greener Building Solutions, and it's really looking at how we can plan new developments to maximise their efficiency in the first place. Mm-hmm. What sort of technologies should we begin to incorporate when we're planning them? How do we lay out new housing developments, for example, or commercial properties to maximise the heat which is kept inside them, and also looking at new building materials. How can we use something that's perhaps a little bit more environmentally friendly and has a better lifetime emissions or impact or a smaller impact over its lifetime than perhaps bricks and concrete?
Yeah, it's interesting because I was with an architect, firm of architects in Canterbury last week called Studio Briner, and I was having a chat with Paul, and you know they would always advocate fabric first, you know, when it comes to things like this. But you know, it's interesting, isn't it, that you know the government put I think £2.5 billion behind something called the Green Grant Scheme, you know, which launched, I'm not quite sure, I think it launched last year, but I think it was then cancelled in March of this year, because they simply weren't able to deliver that retrofit program in terms of reaching 20,000 households or whatever the, you know, the kind of target number was. So where do you see the kind of the challenges in all of this? Is supply chain going to be a massive challenge? I mean, we've spoken about the fact it's a huge opportunity for businesses out there, but it's also a challenge, isn't it? Because we need to move fairly quickly now if we're going to have any chance of hitting these, you know, these targets, these climate change targets. And I think we're already on schedule to hit 1.5 degrees by 2040, for example, let alone by the end of the century. You know, we're talking in sort of less than 20 years' time. We need to move quickly, don't we?
It's a huge task, yeah, a really, really big task. I mean, if you just take the buildings and retrofit sector, there's so many, you know, thousands of houses out there to be addressed and reached. And we need to make sure that there are enough companies in the supply chain who can get round to all of those houses, do the installation, that we're making enough of the equipment, that we're building enough solar panels, that they're available to us to install, and that homeowners are confident and understand the benefits in incorporating those kinds of technologies for themselves as well. So there is really a big challenge there, and it's really important, I think, for small businesses particularly to understand where they can fit in, what opportunity is there for them, how do they line themselves up to be in that position, what skills do their team need, and how can they access this work. So that we're really ready to deliver on this agenda.
Absolutely.
I'm just sitting here, obviously, listening to everything rather than talking. I have to say, when Martin said to me, obviously, that you were coming on, education is a massive importance, because I am honestly not up to date on anything. And I said to Martin, you know, if I was on Mastermind, sustainability wouldn't be my top subject. But this is just incredible. And I think it is an education, isn't it? Really educating those companies and people to understand what small bits or larger things they can do to sort of help up that global, you know, climate change.
And it is a really important point that everybody, maybe they feel they have a small part to play, but everybody does have a part to play. Every individual, every business is part of this jigsaw puzzle to put it all together. And this step change that's required won't happen if only some people do it. Really does need a real team effort.
That's a really good point.
And companies and individuals.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right, Lynette. You know, we should be teaching it in schools.
Oh, totally, absolutely. You know? I agree with you.
You know, the next generation of people, you know, growing up, who are going to inherit this world, you know, they need to understand what we need to do to safeguard it. And that's a really, really good point. You know, it should be on the curriculum. So, you know, perhaps we'll get some educational people on soon to talk about that. Sarah, I think what we'll do for now is we're going to take a short break. And then when we come back, we'll talk about some of these, some of the other initiatives that you've got running. I know you've got a solar PV event happening as well this week. You might want to talk about Steps to Environmental Management, which was another webinar that you ran recently. And then perhaps you can talk a little bit more broadly about Opagie and your role there, particularly with regard to, you know, wind energy and renewables in particular. So stay with us and we'll be straight back after this.
105.9 Academy FM.
BizConnect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning into the BizConnect radio show today. I'm delighted to say that we have Sarah Nidri-Webb on the phone, who is the Programme Manager for Kent County Council's Clean Growth South East Initiative. Sarah, lovely to have you with us today.
Thanks very much.
Lynette, I know you had a couple of questions that you wanted to ask Sarah, so you fire away.
Oh, okay. I honestly, you know, the whole green environment for me sometimes can be such a big thing. So I wondered, you know, as in your role, what do you personally think, either as a resident or as a business, are the very, you know, first thing you could look at for your step to help the environment?
That's a really good question. I think really the most practical thing I can say and offer is to understand first, if you can, what your emissions are. So if you're a business, then perhaps you can start to think about what your carbon footprint might be. Going through that process really makes you think of all your various impacts that you bring into your business and what goes out of the door, how your employees travel to work and what they do when they get there and they sit down at their desks or go out in the vans or whatever it is that they do. So thinking about all that work that you do and what happens to produce your product or service helps you to then kind of quantify which are the things which have most impact environmentally or in a carbon sense, and then which, practically speaking, you can do something about. Perhaps you could change your fleet vans to a greener type of van. Perhaps you can look at the materials that you use and switch to something different. Or maybe it's just as simple as remembering to try to minimize the electricity you use, turning off the lights or switching off the screens at the end of the day, or switching to recycled paper in the office or something like that. So really understanding properly what your emissions are and which are the things that you can easily change and how you can go about changing them is a really helpful step to help you to make some practical and meaningful difference.
That's a really good point. Yeah. So you've got to measure them in the first instance. You know, look at things like your utility bills. You know, look at things like how many miles you drive as a business on an annual basis. Really? What are your sort of direct and perhaps indirect, you know, CO2 inputs, if
but
you
also,
like.
But also, what if you worked in, you know, you're all worked in a factory, you all worked shift work, you know, you work from 6 till 2, 2 till 10 or whatever. Mm. How many people lived near each other that could actually travel together? And you as a business actually could reward those people, and those businesses have been rewarded, people have been rewarded, but also saving money on fuel.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's so many different initiatives that you can do. First of all, directly for the stuff that you could influence. What kind of vehicles that is, perhaps, or but then you also have a much wider impact than just that. It's about perhaps your employees travelling, or maybe it's about choosing something greener in your supply chain or in your materials. So your impact goes beyond just your own doors, really.
So what do you think is stopping businesses doing this, Sarah? Why is the government, you know, increasingly having to wield a big stick, you know, when it comes to things like, okay, there won't be any traditional gas-fired central heating boilers being installed after 2025. You know, why isn't the industry self-regulating more on that level? You know, what are the barriers there? Is it time? Is it management resource? Is it expertise?
Well, that's a really good question. I'd say there's a bit of a mix there, really. Sometimes, and quite a lot of the feedback we've received so far from companies that are on Clean Growth Southeast as a program have said back that it's about a little bit about understanding. Mm. How can they make the best, greenest choices? There's so much choice out there in everything you purchase. There's so much opportunities and options to choose from. So sometimes it can be a bit confusing to really pinpoint which is the most efficient, the best. Mm. The best product to go for. Mm. And also, you know, it's a difficult area to understand, really, with technology developing quite quickly. It's really challenging to kind of sometimes figure out exactly where the trend is and how best to tackle that area.
Mm. I work with a lot of construction firms, and they're saying, you know, the number one, you know, cause for clients not going with the greener option, if you like, in construction, is because there's a green premium. You know, it comes down to cost. It comes down to cost. It comes down to margin. And until we're able to sort of, you know, overcome, you know, really huge fundamental issues like that, particularly in the construction industry, you know, it's going to be a difficult task, isn't it, educating clients to actually, you know, go that route.
It is, yeah, but I mean, I think that I think a lot of companies and individuals might be a little bit surprised themselves when you begin to look at this area and consider your emissions or start to look at this kind of topic. Yes, it might take a bit of an investment of your time in the first instance, and perhaps you want to spend a bit more money on something or change your approach or what you would normally have done. But in the long run, the impacts for yourself, for your company, and for the product that you're producing, and often the cost of that over the lifetime is cheaper.
Yes.
A house, for example, built with low carbon materials, over its lifetime will save lots of money for the person who lives in the house. Perhaps it will get a better premium when you sell it. So it's not all about the cost financially right at that moment. It's about considering the long-term impact and the long-term cost saving that you're making for your customers or the users of that product or service.
That's a really good point. I mean, you know, you look at construction and you look at sort of block and brick construction versus timber frame construction, and you know, you may say actually a timber frame is going to cost me more money, but it isn't, because it's going to go up in a fraction of the time.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's going to have a greater longevity in terms of lifespan as well, potentially. So there are, you you're absolutely right. You need to look at the whole kind of picture there before you can you can sort of compare like for like, as it were. You need to consider the lifetime cost, don't you, associated with that.
And for a company or an individual as well, if you start to consider how you can reduce your impact and your emissions, very often that does lead to other benefits. So perhaps it allows you to improve your business efficiencies or save money on a particular element of things that you have to buy to operate.
Yes.
So often there are wider benefits than just your own carbon saving that you're achieving.
Yeah, that's a good point as well. Once you start proactively managing things like that, all sorts of opportunities come out. I mean, Lynette, you were talking about your hotels, Q Hotels, and some of your initiatives. So you've been changing light bulbs, you've been adding pool covers. Tell us about some of that.
Yeah, so I think one of the positives actually of lockdown is our hotels were closed, as you know. So because they were closed, they could really work out how much energy the hotel used in terms of lighting, heating, etc., when they were open compared to obviously when they were closed. And actually every month we used to have every week or other week had a call with the CEO, and there's a guy that used to, he was so passionate about how much money he'd saved in energy that he'd, you know, managed to tell them to turn the lights off, etc. And I think moving forward that's made them realise what they need to do. So we're actually investing £500,000 in energy saving lighting across our 21 hotels. So like you were just saying, it's about investing something for the long term gain.
Yes, definitely.
Fabulous, good. And on an individual level, I mean, you know, there's so much talk and all the advertising around cars all seems to be electric at the moment. And I changed my car this year and I've got a car that now does 50 miles per gallon as opposed to my old one that did 30 miles per gallon. And I'm actually in the process of changing my wife's car over to an electric vehicle, you know, from an older diesel vehicle. So, you know, things like that are going to have massive benefits, aren't they, Sarah?
Absolutely. It's nice that you mentioned that. We've got an event that's coming up. It's the beginning of July, I think. I can't remember the exact date. Addressing this kind of issue, this green travel transport issue. What are the options that are there for a company in terms of fleet management? And where can you start in making a decision on how to go forward? And also, what's out there to help support companies invest in this in this kind of upgraded new technology.
Yeah, and Rob will be talking about that in the second part of the show as well, because I know KCC have got a green van initiative at the moment, and I've actually benefited from that, which has kind of helped me see the light, if you like, in terms of you know, moving from a diesel vehicle you know, to an electric vehicle. So that's brilliant. You've got another event also this week on Thursday, I think you wanted to tell us about. You've got a solar PV event, is that right?
Yeah, so we've got a set of, in our event series, a set of four or five events that are particularly looking at different technologies for energy generation, which is a massive opportunity area for the South East. You know, there's a really rich and diverse mix of renewable generation going on across the region already. There's lots of solar, there's onshore wind, there's lots of offshore wind already out there off the coast on the southeast, and also coming up in the pipeline. So these events are going to really look at what are the practical opportunities, what are the upcoming projects and the practical opportunities for companies to get involved in those supply chains.
Fantastic.
Who do they need to talk to, who might be their ultimate client, and, and when can they begin to engage. So we're lucky enough to be working quite closely with Vattenfall, who are joining us for many of these events.
Brilliant.
And also the East of England Energy Group are helping to support them. So the first one on Thursday for solar will look at how the supply chain of a solar park, a solar farm works, how it's commissioned and begins and is developed and delivered and maintained and ultimately decommissioned. So we'll have some contribution from Vattenfall on that topic. But then we'll also really look at how what's already there in terms of solar farms in the region, and how can companies get involved in the future supply chain for new and upcoming projects.
Fantastic. I mean, it's really interesting that you mentioned that. There's one that I drive past, you know, just outside Sandwich now, almost on a sort of daily basis, and you know, it just seems to have sort of sprung up from nowhere in you know, very quick time sort of thing. So it just shows you what can be done.
Absolutely.
And I think we're also now connected. We have a wind farm off the coast of Thanet, where I live, which again is a Vattenfall facility. And I think that's now connected to the continent as well. So, you know, we've now got sort of renewable energy connectivity almost sort of globally as well. We, you know, we can move electricity around, you know, within Europe, certainly at the moment, in terms of renewable energy. I think we have a cable that's now connecting our wind farm with Belgium, for example. Which is amazing, isn't it? So we can move energy around, and that sort of joined up thinking is really what we need, isn't it? We need to stop thinking in terms of, you know, we're one country, we're one economy, and start tackling this problem on a kind of global level, don't we?
Definitely. And there's the technology in these areas just advances very quickly, and all improvements, so many improvements occur very quickly in terms of efficiency and how energy can be distributed, and how the whole process can be made more cost effective but still deliver more energy to our societies. So yeah, it's an exciting topic area for sure.
It's a hugely dynamic space to be in. I was also part of another presentation you did recently where you had the micro generation, is it certification service, presenting, and they were talking about, you know, the opportunity that, that renewables represent. And just to kind of put that into context, there are only, I did a quick search on their website, there are only 10 businesses registered in Kent with MCS, who are the sort of, you know, the trust mark, if you like, of the renewables energy world. So, you know, again, massive opportunity there for businesses to embrace that and get involved.
Definitely. I mean, there's so much development to go on in that space, and so much installation of new technology that needs to happen. And 10 businesses in Kent can't do it all themselves.
No, crikey.
So there's a massive pool there, a requirement there for more companies to engage with that supply chain opportunity.
Brilliant. Sarah, it's been absolutely fascinating having you on today. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. Just give us a quick shout out for the Clean Grow Southeast website, if you can.
Yes, brilliant. Thanks for that. It's cleangrowsoutheast.co.uk, and you can contact us there through the web pages, see the events that we've got coming up, and register for those for free. You can also see the materials from our previous events, and if you'd like to see copies of the recordings for any of those, then please just give us a shout. Also, we're talking to companies one-to-one to talk about where your opportunities and potential challenges are, so we'd really welcome a discussion with anybody who's been interested in the content today.
Perfect. So do register on that website, and then you'll get notification of all those upcoming events. Plus, you do you publish a fabulous newsletter as well, which people will obviously then be on the circulation for. We also publish all of your events on our Green Business Hub platform as well. So that's greenbusinesshub.eco. So people can also find out information about all those forthcoming events there as well. But for now, Sarah, it's been absolutely lovely to have you with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
It's been such a pleasure. I really wish, actually, Sarah, you were in here with us, not on the phone, so you could feel Martin's energy and how passionate he is about this.
Brilliant. Well, hopefully we can facilitate that as well at some point, although I do know you're based in Norfolk, so it might be a bit of a trek for you.
Oh, well, you know, it's no problem to take a train ride around.
That would be lovely. You can bring your dog as well for company on the long journey. That would be super. But for now, Sarah, thank you so much, and we'll catch up with you again, I'm sure, in the very near future.
Brilliant. Thanks very much.
Thanks,
bye,
Sarah.
For now.
Bye.
105.9 Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody, and thank you so much for staying with the BizConnect radio show today with myself, Martin White, and my fabulous co-host in the studio,
Lynette Wood.
Lynette, we've got another guest on the line. Who have we got?
We've got Rob Robinson, and he's a Sustainable Business Manager for KCC.
Rob, great to have you with us.
Great to be with you guys. Thanks very much for inviting me on.
I know you've just come back from a week's holiday, so I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. Have you had a nice week off?
Yes, very good, thank you. Yeah, an eclectic mix of family and friends.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, a nice balance.
They're always the best, yeah. Brilliant. Good. Rob, we've got, as you know, a sustainability theme to the show today. We've just been talking to Sarah Nidri-Webb, who, as you know, is the Programme Manager for Clean Growth South East, which is one of your initiatives at KCC. But if you could, just give us an overall feel for everything that you guys are doing with regard to kind of climate change action, sustainability with business engagement, all the kind of key initiatives that you guys have got on the table at the moment, because it's there's quite a lot going on, isn't there?
There is indeed, Martin, yes. And I suppose the key thing is, that the clean growth work that Sarah is doing with us through Opogee, that is using some South East Local Enterprise Fund money, mm-hmm. to look at the wider possibilities and opportunities that are available with supporting the clean growth sector and what we do as a department, Sustainable Business and Communities, is looking at how best to link in and support the sector, and also, you know, support the creating demand for the sector as well. So, you know, rather than try and just deal with projects in there, in silos, we try to dovetail them as much as possible. So, there are a number of themes, but essentially, any sustainable business activity is what we're trying to deal with through this team, and it's generally through EU funding. Mm-hmm. So we've got a number of different projects that work with, you know, generally sustainable business topics, so, you know, environmental and resource efficiency projects, but also looking at circular economy, helping with the green recovery as well. There's another EU project we've just had some funding awarded for, and then there's just generally trying to help embed environmental principles within any of the SMEs that are within our region. So there's a lot of work we're doing within Kent, but also with partners across Essex, East Sussex and beyond.
Brilliant. And I want to sort of flag up an award that you guys have received recently, because I think it's fair to say, and Lynette, I'm sure you'd agree, that local authorities don't necessarily always get the best press, you know, whether it's at sort of county level or at individual local authority level underneath that. But you guys have picked up an award recently. Tell us a little bit about that, Rob, for all your kind of work in this area.
Yeah, so ADEPT, and I apologise to ADEPT for not knowing their exact acronym, but essentially it's working with local authorities, and looking at the ways that they work and trying to sort of translate best practice. And what we've done was we won the ADEPT Award for Delivering Clean Growth. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty much for the reason that I sort of explained earlier, that, you know, there's been a long-term sort of plan for us to try to steer the local economy, you know, into a green way of working and green way of thinking. So, you know, all the different activities that we've been either delivering ourselves or sort of leading as part of wider partnerships, we're put into one sort of application. And actually, yeah, it's really good to get some recognition and see how we benchmark against other tier one and other authorities throughout the UK. So more than happy to get an award. It does give you a little bit more satisfaction, but not that we need an award to turn up for work every day, because what we do is really important and really enjoyable to do.
Yeah, fantastic, good. So, I mean, let's just sort of outline some of these initiatives quickly. We've got Clean Growth South East that Sarah kind of introduced in the first part of the show. We've got Low Carbon Kent, which I guess was your sort of first, network initiative that you guys set up as well.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, so Low Carbon Kent is sort of was originally launched as a network of green businesses, so businesses that are operating in that sector. It was linked originally to when we were developing our STEPS environmental management workshops as well, which is STEM, which is another thing that we've just sort of relaunched. But yeah, it's that was originally for helping businesses in that sector. Through some funding through it was called Low Carbon Plus, But what we did, we linked that with another initiative that's happening in Essex that I worked on called Low Carbon Business. Spliced those two together, added a little bit extra magic, and Lowcase was born, which is low carbon across the south and east. So we're we've sort of extended that program, so we've got some extra funding from the EU to help sort of promote the idea of sustainable business and renewables and all of that jazz, and linking that in with helping businesses in that sector with business development grants. So there's a number of different projects we're working on as well. So there's, like I mentioned, there's sustainable, circular economy initiatives. So there's Blueprint and Upcycle Your Waste, which are both looking at trying to disrupt the normal, really, trying to look at helping businesses identify ways of turning waste into a resource or a different opportunity to operate in a much better way. And also, yeah, we've got initiatives like Kent Revs, which is a realising electric van scheme, and that is trial of electric van for free for up to 2 months. We've got a fleet of, I think there's 36 there out of 48 that we've ordered, and yeah, range of different vans, different sizes, and see if that's going to suit you as a business. So when we're looking at travel planning and things like that, they're all becoming more and more important, certainly in the last year or so. I think people understand the impacts that they have, and if actually the way of building back better without getting too cliched, let's look at exploring the possibilities, really.
So how many months did you say they can trial that for?
Up to 2 months. So realistically, most businesses and organizations that have come forward have taken us up on that offer of as long as possible, but it means that it's long enough for it to maybe go around a couple of different people with different roles, different areas that or routes that people use in using their vehicles for. And because we've got not just a load of small vans, there's some medium sized vans now, some e-experts and some Zoes, which are essentially it's a small car. So it depends what you do as a business as to how relevant it would be, but I would say if the opportunity to, then put forward a register your interest either at revs@csltd.org.uk or an email to lowcarbon@kent.gov.uk we can register the interest, and that's not just for SMEs, it could be for larger businesses or charities, even some local authorities if they're so inclined.
Well, as you know, Rob, I've had one myself for a couple of months, and I've got to say, if you're doing sort of predominantly more local journeys, and most people are just kind of, when they're doing that, they're sitting in traffic quite a bit of the time. I mean, it's a complete no-brainer, as far as I'm concerned. You charge it up at night, you get in it, you drive it around, and if you need to, you charge it up again in the evening. You never need to go near a petrol station. And the biggest kind of thing that I've kind of taken out of it is it's just completely guilt-free motoring. I mean, you get in it and it's you get this kind of whoosh of noise and power, and away you go. And in the knowledge that there is nothing coming out of the exhaust pipe.
I think that's the important thing you've just said right at the very end there as well, Martin. That air quality is a big thing, not just in Kent, in some of the sort of more sort of built up areas, but generally across the UK, there's so many clean air zones and things like that are coming out because actually air quality kills. So we're looking to link what we're doing with the clean air down the 17th of June. People aren't aware of it, so it's sort of another excuse and opportunity for businesses and guys just in the local community to look at other options, whether that's electric vehicles or whether it's cycling or other elements of travel planning.
Brilliant.
There's support available. So there's bike proficiency training that's free, cycle training for businesses and for schools, adults and children as well. So there's loads of support available.
And if you were on the 17th of June, sorry, Rob, if on the 17th of June is clean air day, if I was the 17th of June and I was at home or was on a business, and I asked the same question to Sarah, what's the one thing I could do that day that I think would impact, that particular day, on that day, that I could sort of shout about that I've done to share what I've been doing? Bit of a broad question, I know, but...
It's an interesting question, so I suppose it depends what you would have been doing.
Mm.
Yes.
And that's it, and that's where... It depends what you do as a business or what you do as a person.
Could you walk to work that day, or could you share lifts with somebody else?
It could be, yeah. The issue we've had in the last year or so with car share schemes and car sharing is that COVID, yeah, carpooling is a little bit difficult. But generally, yeah, things like that, or looking at what's viable, or you know, could I work from home this particular day, or could I not leave at rush hour?
Yeah.
You know, stagger start times, you know, things like that that do impact on...
Yeah,
you
know, so small on things the, but yeah. like that you could, yeah, we could yeah, all then, do on that yeah. particular
Change
day.
Change your behaviour for the positive. That's the key thing, isn't it, I guess. Is this a Kent initiative or is this a global initiative?
No, it's a global initiative. Yeah.
Because we've just had World Environment Day on Saturday, so this is another one of these. This is a clean air day on the 17th.
Yeah. So I can't recall if it's who it is on it. Kelsey, KELSI. I think it relates if you do a search for that. If you do a search for 17th of June Clean Air Day.
Oh, do that.
There's a load of information up there which you know, schools or businesses or whatever could put out there for their staff and use it as another excuse to challenge the norm, really. Brilliant.
Yeah, I'm gonna do like a LinkedIn poll, you know, and see what people could
do.
Yeah, good
idea. Do that.
Yeah.
Excellent. I like it. And, I mean, apart from all of that, you know, there's a whole nother team, obviously, at KCC, the Kent Environment Strategy Team, and there's a community engagement team through Kent Green Action, for example. So there's all sorts of stuff going on, like, you know, a proposed district heating trial in Maidstone. KCC, I think, have come out and said they want to be zero net carbon by 2030, so 20 years ahead of the government target across your entire estate. So I think there's a proposed hydrogen production plant in Canterbury to power...
Over near Herne Bay,
To power the next generation of green buses. So there's an awful lot going on, Rob, isn't there? It's all really positive stuff.
Yeah, there is. And, I mean, it's... I wouldn't say the environment was ever a sort of an afterthought, but I must admit there hasn't been as much attention as there is certainly now, because we're in a climate emergency, recognised, you know, pretty much universally now. I say universally, but we've got a lot of sort of irons in the fire, and you know we've had, for example, you know, £23 million worth of a decarbonisation fund. Bid approved, which is great because it means that we can actually put into practice some of the plans that we'd love to have if we had the funding to do so. Mm. So, you know, we're looking at some pretty large, pretty ambitious projects. Mm. Sort of looking at trying to link innovation with need. So, you know, don't do things just because, you know, it's a new technology, making sure it's fit for purpose. So we're doing some feasibility studies into a district heat program. Looking at some quite good tech and linking some pretty big buildings, and also, yeah, there's some solar panel projects as well. The plant in Canterbury isn't actually a KCC project, but we're obviously looking to support where we can, because if we can help, you know, get some infrastructure into Kent, then, you know, we've talked about electric vans already. You know, hydrogen fuel cells have also got a good part to play in the market, whether it's sort of haulage or larger vehicles as well. So yeah, you mentioned the bus fleet. At the moment, that facility would be powering sort of some within London, but yeah, you know, we're in discussions, and there's trials going on for boroughs and districts and some KCC initiatives as well. So yeah, there's loads of stuff happening. Some things you can't talk about until they're happening, but generally. It is almost a watch this space. So when you say, you know, how can we get involved? Yeah, Kent Green Action Initiative, you know, links things like, you know, Kent Plan B, which is, you know, biodiversity and pollinator support with sort of the business sort of project that we run as well. So
brilliant.
Well, it's nice to be proactive.
Yeah, absolutely. No, and it's good to get that recognition as well, like you know, as you have recently. I think what we'll do now, Rob, is we're going to play a little bit of music, and then when we come back, I want to talk about some of the specific grant funding programs that are on the table, in particular Locase, and how businesses can kind of engage with that to help green their business and drive some more sustainable you know, business growth moving forward. So stay with us, Rob. And we'll play a little bit of music and we'll be straight back after this.
Academy FM Folkestone.
Biz Connect, the show that promotes and connects businesses.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm delighted to say that we've got Rob Robinson with us on the show this afternoon. Rob is the Sustainable Business Programs Manager at Kent County Council. Rob, great to have you with us.
Great to be here.
We talked about some of the initiatives, the great initiatives that are going on within Kent at the moment around climate change, environment, sustainability. I wanted to talk now specifically about something called Locase. We touched on it briefly earlier. Low carbon across the south and east, which is a grant funding program. Rob, give us a quick overview in terms of what Locase is and what it can offer businesses.
Yes, certainly. So the key sort of clincher generally is, yeah, as you mentioned, it's a grants program. There's a very large grant element to it, which is what generally businesses are most interested in. You know, we touched on it before. The reason why we can put funding towards is that it's European Regional Development Fund money. But what that really means is that a business can get a grant to make a project more viable, really. So we when you're a business, yes, it's about trying to help sort of the environment and, you know, try and help save carbon. But to an extent, you're also looking at streamlining your business, trying to increase some efficiencies, make sure it's, you know, you're not doing as much waste or using as much energy, because that costs money. And, you know, we're always looking at the bottom line, and that's a sensible thing to do. So what the funding is some grant funding up to £10,000 to cover 40% of a project. Mm-hmm. So what we really look at is a business eligible? Well, if they're an SME, so a small, medium-sized enterprise, up to 250 employees, which is about 95, 96, 97% of businesses within the southeast, would be pretty much eligible. There's only a few sectors we can't cover, and that's because they're covered by other EU funding. So, you know, we can't cover farming, for example, and some agriculture as well. But essentially, most businesses would be eligible. All it really is registering on Locase website, which is locase.gov.uk. No, locase.co.uk. Apologies. Mm-hmm. Register here, so top right. Put the business details in. We have a quick sort of half an hour discussion with a business needs assessment, energy audit, however you want to call it. Mm-hmm. Looking at the opportunities and the options available as a business, and then help with the application process. Get a grant approved, and the business can go ahead and do some projects and get the funding claim back. So it's all real money. We've had about 1,000 businesses we've helped already, and yeah, we've been given a go ahead to help with same again.
So would you help a business, Rob, in deciding where they could best, you know, invest in that particular company? So I might think, oh, I've got, you know, Clubhouse, for example, and I want to put solar panels on the ceiling, but actually maybe that's not going to be where I invest much, and you might go in there and say, actually, you're better off in your heating or whatever. Is that something you go and speak to them about and understand what would be best for their business and how they could move forward with that?
Yeah, great question, Alette. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. So what we don't want to do is just you know, from afar, rubber stamp a project. Oh, that's an eligible project. Yep. Great, well done. Ticks and boxes. This isn't about ticking boxes. It's about trying to make the biggest impact for a business. So really good example, solar panels. It might well be that is the best option for a clubhouse if they've already done the more obvious energy saving options. So yeah, if the lighting is already, you know, is already good, and they're not using a huge amount of energy in their kitchens or whatever it might be, then yeah, the energy that you create through the solar panels might well cover pretty much all of the energy that's needed in that building. If, for example, it's a manufacturing plant that hasn't changed over their big sort of big old bay lights to LED versions, then that's probably going to be the best return on investment for that business, rather than let's put, you know, 25 grand's worth of panels on our roof, because you're not going to be covering a huge chunk of your energy use. And let's face it, if you're paying 15p a kilowatt for energy, it is a maths puzzle, as well as it is, you know, how much carbon are you going to save? And that's where, you know, it's an independent eye, you know, whether it's on the site or the other end of the phone or you know, or video call, as we are sort of mainly at the moment, to sort of sort the wheat from the chaff in that sense, see where you get the biggest bang for your buck.
And you can go in, obviously, and save its lighting, etc. And if they have to invest, say, I don't know, £5,000 as a round figure, you know, when am I going to get my £5,000 back that I've obviously put into that? And it could be a region of, you know, 12 months, for example. And then, like we're talking about when we're off air, is like, then what do you spend what you've saved on the following year to help that you're constantly improving your business?
Yeah, exactly. So it's not just about, you know, if for example, it was a £5,000 project, well, we would be able to help with £2,000 of that, and we would be able to get that £2,000 to you once the project's sort of gone ahead and been paid for. But then, yeah, if the return on investment is, you know, for example, if you're talking about lighting, typically, you know, 18 months to a year, yeah, in a year's time, you've got some money that you wouldn't have had before, what are you going to invest it in? And if that is, you know, another part of the project, then continuous improvement is where we're at, and we might as well move seamlessly onto STEM, because that's sort of what STEM is about. STEPS and Environmental Management is about working out what your biggest aspects and your impacts are as a business, whether there's any way of investing or you know, on top of behaviour change, investing in new ways of doing things. And then, you know, once that's happened and you've sort of put some of these potential projects or actions, you know, into place, How can you continue the progress? Talk about it. Make sure that, you know, the wider public are aware of what you're doing, and then just sort of move forward. And that's what, you know, the STEM workshops are about. And that's another thing that's covered by, you know, by Locase as a program. So we're not just about getting businesses money, but we are about trying to look at what the biggest changes could be as a business, and helping businesses move forward in that sense.
So don't view an individual project in isolation. You know, use that as a springboard to look at your you know, your environmental footprint across the business, and STEM obviously ties in very well with Locase on that level, I guess, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's about, without getting too cliched, it's about a journey. You know, you can't change everything overnight, but what you can do is you can look at your operations, you can look at your staffing, some of the bad habits or traditional habits that you've been doing. Is there a way of changing, or looking at raw materials, looking at working with suppliers to reduce packaging, all sorts of the things that don't necessarily cost you a lot of money. And if there are things that are going to make a big impact, you know, changing over your fleet or whatever it might be, if you're going to do that, then look at other elements. You know, look at your you know, logistics. Look at your route planning software, and you know, are there people doing dead miles that they don't need to when, you know, when they're doing deliveries, or is it actually better outsourcing some of that to a proper, you know, logistics contractor who will actually, you know, save you or save your sort of business, you know, emissions, sort of scope 1, 2, 3 emissions. It's looking at options really, rather than just carry on doing what you were doing, you know, a couple of years ago or 50 years ago in some instances. Just trying to innovate a little bit and trying to improve.
Yeah, brilliant. Well, on that basis, Rob, you know, it sounds to me like it's a, from your point of view, it's a pretty blank sheet of paper in terms of how you can work with businesses to help them drive, you know, more sustainable growth within their business. What's the best way for people to get in touch to make an inquiry about Locase, or to perhaps have a conversation about STEM? Is there one kind of, you know, central point? Is it through Clean Grow Southeast, for example? Is it directly through your team? What's the best way to sort of kick off this conversation?
Yeah, no, I think the best starting an answer with yes, no, is not really the way I wanted to go there. The best way through is is just literally jumping an email to lowcarbon@kent.gov.uk,
mm-hmm.
Because we cover all these different projects, you know, ourselves, and we refer in. So if for example it's about, you know, the van scheme, then, you know, we refer to commercial services who are running that for us.
Right.
Or if it's about, you know, if it's a business in the green sector,
mm-hmm.
Or the, you know, environmental sector that's looking for some extra support, and as Sarah said, you know, you can contact Opergy directly, or you can go through us. So yeah, lowcarbon@kent.gov.uk
right
is the way to sort of look at what projects we've got going on.
Yeah.
And we can take it from there. So yeah, it can be light touch, it can be as in depth as you want as a business. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be telling businesses that, you know, they need to do X, Y, and Z, but it's looking at suggestions and looking at what's feasible and what's realistic and practical for a business. Because some businesses are larger than others. Mm-hmm. So let's try and do a change, however small you might think it is. Mm-hmm. Let's see what the impact can be at the other end.
Yeah, and for a lot of smaller businesses, they just don't know where to start. So, you know, that kind of email address, lowcarbon@kent.gov. What was it? Lowcarbon@kent.
Kent@kent.gov.uk.
Kent.gov.
No, it's not. It's lowcarbon@kent.com. Lowcarbonkent.com. I don't know why. So yes, lowcarbon@kent.gov.uk is the email address, and lowcarbonkent.com is the web address.
Is the web address? Yeah, fine, perfect. Great.
You wouldn't think I'm particularly tech savvy, but yeah.
It's when you add in the .gov, I think it becomes complicated.
Just send an email and just put subject help.
But lowcarbonkent.com is your umbrella organisation. So all of the information ultimately can be channeled through that, and inquiries through that. So lowcarbonkent.com. Brilliant. Rob, great to have you with us today. Thanks so much for joining us. First day back after your holiday. So, well done. Great to have you on the show. And, we look forward to catching up with you and Sarah, hopefully, again in the near future, just to find out some more exciting news about what's going on in Kent. So, well done, you guys. Yeah, fantastic.
No, look forward to it. Thanks, Martin. Thanks.
Brilliant.
Thanks ever so much.
Thanks, Rob. Catch up soon. Cheers.
Cheers. Bye.
Bye. Lynette, what a packed show we've had again today.
Oh, do you know what? When you asked me to come and co-host the show, I was a little bit nervous because sustainability is not my, you know, as I said before, if I was on Mastermind, it wouldn't be my specialist subject. But I have learned so much, and I really hope that some businesses take some sort of thoughts out there and sort of put their hands up and say, do you know what? I want some help on that, please.
Yeah. Do you feel motivated to take action in your personal life?
I do. Yeah, I feel like maybe good. I could walk to the shops or, you know, whatever, those type of things. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Just make one simple change in your behaviour, and if we all did that, think of the huge difference it would make.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. So in terms of more information, we've got a couple of websites for you, haven't we? I think if you're a business looking for a general initial conversation, how can I get started on my clean growth journey, lowcarbonkent.com.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is the website, and you'll find an email address on there where you can get in touch with Rob and his team, find out more information about Kent Revs, STEM, Locase. They'll be able to kind of direct you and signpost you to the right place. And what's the other one, Lynette?
So the other one was Sarah from Clean Growth Southeast. And I think if you just put that into Google, it comes up straight away with where you need to be on that. And you can speak to Sarah and the team there.
Brilliant. And you can register on that website, and then they'll send you information about all the latest events that are upcoming and their whole programme of stuff that's going on and their newsletter, etc. So brilliant. Lynette, we've come to the end of the show.
Oh, it's always a sad day when you come to the end, isn't it?
Yeah, well, hopefully you'll be back with us again at some point in the very near future.
Hopefully.
We will definitely be back as a show again in 2 weeks' time on the 24th of June. So I do hope you can join us then. But for now, I think from both of us, it's...
goodbye.
Stay safe, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks' time. Bye for now.
105.9 Academy FM.
Biz Connect.
Promoting and connecting businesses in Kent and around the world.
Tweet us at Kent_biz.